Good morning. I trust that everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I certainly hope you did. We had a really nice time up at Bonnie's sister's place, and we shot clay pigeons for a few hours and had a wonderful meal. And for the first time that I can ever remember, the rolls were not burnt. Yep, really turned out good. Good time. So I'm excited. We decorate the sanctuary in the church after the service today. We're going to have a little pizza with that and some pop. And then next Sunday it begins. Advent. First Sunday in Advent. And next Sunday we are going to give away Christmas gifts to people passing by the church during service and during Sunday school. So, you know, if you come to second service, come early and hand out gifts. Our youth group is going to hand out some of the gifts. If you just want to bring a gift, just wrap it at home and bring it and just drop it off here, and we'll give it away to people as they pass the church. We want to share with them the extravagant love of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited about that and the giveaway that we have on December 16th. And like we had back in September, we're going to do it December 16th. Our emphasis will be on decorations and toys for the kids. But we still need all the other household items, clothes, knickknacks, whatever it is that you have to donate that we can give away on December 16th. That's a Saturday from 9 till noon. People were excited about that. So it's good. It's good to be here, to be in missions for our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord, we thank you for all those blessings. Help us to share those blessings the way you intended. And Lord, we thank you that we gather together here on sacred and holy ground. We can know that you are here with us, that you are among us. And so we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, to bless us with a heart of flesh, that we may be open to receive the word that you have for us this day. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, I would like to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially a special welcome to any visitors. Do we have any visitors out there? Okay. Visitors, if you would like some information about our church, please see the pastor or me or Diane Runser, our music director. You can see an usher. Or you can, if you so desire, there's a packet of information already packaged immediately outside the double doors hanging from the shepherd's crook. So a special welcome to you. A reminder to all in attendance this morning, please sign the registration page in the red folder, and that's located at the end of the pew. So if you can sign that, pass it to others, and then bring it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you'll find 3x5 index cards in that red folder. Please fill that little card out, and you can put that in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers bring it forward to Pastor Bruce. Our memory verse for November, this is the last Sunday in November, it's located at the top center of the first page of your bulletin. Let's recite that twice through. Please join me now. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We do have several announcements and upcoming events this morning. From the Outreach Committee, to let you know that they will once again sponsor their angel tree. The tree is the green Christmas tree in the narthex. It has little angels on it. It's gives you descriptions of specific gifts that are needed for children. So if you can find that in your heart, please select an angel and return the wrapped gift by Sunday, December 17th. Now, Diane Runser has a few announcements.
I'm happy to report that all of those sheets I've been passing around for all these Christmas activities, Advent activities, have all been completed. So that's wonderful. I hope that those of you who have volunteered will check the Opportunities for Service board out in the narthex to remind you when and what you volunteered for. The hanging of the greens right after this church, this service. If you signed up, that's wonderful. If you didn't sign up, come anyway. The more hands we have, the better. And what I would ask, though, is before we start pulling everything out, I'd like everybody to come down to the front few pews that's working just to make sure that we're organized and we can get done the most efficiently. So if you see somebody coming in from the from first service and they start pulling things out, have them come up and just sit down for just a second, take a breath, and then we'll get organized. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. As I mentioned, there's certainly a variety of announcements in the bulletin. What is not in the bulletin are these announcements. From Laurie, Rata cutlery orders are in and can be picked up in the church office. If you ordered a wooden cutting block, it's on back order, but it will be delivered soon and certainly before Christmas. And she wants to thank everyone for the Rata cutlery order, and the church profited $346 from the sale. So that's great for that Rata that we've been having for many years now. Also, you'll find in your bulletin an insert for poinsettias for Christmas. Today is the last day to order those poinsettias. So those forms are in the bulletin, and they're also on the table in the narthex. So you want to, if you want your poinsettia for Christmas Eve, please make certain that you get that placed today. A reminder from the Happy Methodist group, they will have their Christmas luncheon on Wednesday, December 13th. You still have a little time. December 13th is a couple weeks away. It will be at Abruzzi's on Route 30. And if you have any questions, please contact Shirley. And also, Bonnie has asked me to please note a change from something that is printed in the bulletin, the Women's Bible Study. This Wednesday will begin at 6:30, not 7 p.m. So the Women's Bible Study for this Wednesday begins at 6:30. And as always, I would please remind you to check the other announcements that we have and also the activities that are scheduled in the life of our church. I would now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship. Well, I was going to announce that when I asked them. We have a little hymn change, but I'll announce that after the call to worship. I would ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Know that the Lord who made us is God.
We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Give thanks and bless God's name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Now I would ask that you turn in your red hymnals to page 61. That's our hymn change. It's actually our last hymn, and we'll sing the 591 for our last hymn. So turn now to page 61 in your red hymnal.
The prayer shawls, pocket prayer shawls. These prayer shawls, they're not magic, nothing superstitious about it, but we believe in faith. We believe that the power of Almighty God is at work in our lives. And it is our prayer and our hope that as we pray over these prayer shawls, that the presence of God himself will be among these prayer shawls and those who receive them. We pray that certainly the people who receive them will know that they were made in love and that they were given in love, so that they'll feel some presence of the Holy Spirit. Your prayers are important. Everybody's prayers, not just mine and not just David's, but everybody's prayers are important. So let's add them all together. Let's pray together as we bless and anoint these prayer shawls. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we lift up these prayer shawls unto you, and we pray that you would bless them, Lord. Anoint them with your Spirit. We pray that those who receive them will experience the love with which they were made and given. We pray, Lord, that they feel a touch from you, that they feel your very presence in their lives. And so, God, we ask that you would bless these prayer shawls, each and every one of them. Bless the hands that have made them. Bless those who deliver them. And bless those who receive them. We ask all this in the mighty, matchless, and strong name of Jesus the Christ. And all of God's children said, Amen. Hey, did you have a good Thanksgiving? Good. Glad to hear that. Who loves you? Does Jesus love everybody? Absolutely does. I'll tell you what, I need four volunteers. This is for the children's chat, so I need four volunteers to come on down front. There's Becky. There. Oh, we got five. That's fine. I'll take five. That's good. Come on down. Okay. Spread out. Give me one at the end of the pew down there. Okay. Give me one here at the end of the pew here. One there. End of that pew. Beginning of the next pew. Right where you're at, Austin. Okay. These folks represent something. I'm going to tell you, so you need to pay attention, okay? Poverty, poor, people who don't have any money, okay? They have no money. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. People who are hungry, not just hungry for food, but they're hungry for companionship. They're hungry for spiritual direction. Hungry, people who are starving. People who are sick. They're sick physically, mentally sick. These are all the sick people in the world. People in prison. People in prison. Everybody in prison. County jails, penitentiaries, big prisons, little prisons. People in prison. There are people who are in prisons of their own making. They're prisoners in their homes sometimes. They're prisoners in bad situations. Prisoners. Yeah, I'm supposed to say the naked, but that's let's say the homeless and those who need clothes. Okay? The homeless and those who need clothes. Now, this covers a lot of people in our society. Let me ask you this. Which one does Jesus love more? All of them? Jesus loves all of them. Well, which one would Jesus help the most? All of them. Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, well then, of course, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with us. But the Holy Spirit depends on us to do the work. So, being that we're Christians and we believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, which one do you help first? Huh? All of them? We help all of them first? Okay. How do you do that? Go and help all of them at the same time. So, very good. Very good. Yes. Yeah, we can help all of them at the same time by giving as a church. And we collect it. And different groups in the church collect it. And then we give it to all of them at the same time. We have people that go on mission trips. We're giving away gifts. We feed people at the food bank, and we have the giveaway coming up on December 16th. We can help everybody at the same time by bringing it together as the church. We can get more done together than we can apart. But Jesus loves every one of them, and to help them, Jesus uses us. So we're to love every one of them. These are what are called the least, the people who are in the greatest need. You and I are supposed to help them. Thank you. You can be seated. Come on up here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there are a lot of needy people in the world. A lot of people who need our help. Most of all, people who need your love. Help us to love them. Help us to not be afraid. God, you loved us. Help us to love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said... Oh, wait a minute. Give me a better amen than that. Put your hand back up there on the count of three. Amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
All right. Very good.
When I rise, in the morning, when I rise,
Thank you, choir. The word of God this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, and then skipping a few, we will end with 20 through 24. The prophet Ezekiel was among those exiled in Babylon in 597 BC, 11 years before Jerusalem fell. Hear these words from Ezekiel. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down and in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on those mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep from away with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends the reading from the prophet Ezekiel. I now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to give you a present, a gift, to give you a sign of our love and our obedience. And we pray, God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church. For we give to you, Lord, our lives too as a living sacrifice. So do with us and what we have as you will. For your honor and glory and praise, bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, and please be seated. What joys do we have to share? Anybody have a joy they want to share?
Indoor plumbing.
Thank you.
Family.
Yeah. Who are you? No, just kidding. That's my wife. Yes. Yes, and yeah. I'm not saying anything else. That's it. Other joys. Leftovers. Yeah, it is. Gorgeous weather.
Music.
In-laws. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, you're happy we don't have any snow yet, yes. Yes.
Clean CT scan for my mom.
Yes, clean CT scan for Becky's mom. Cancer's still in remission, so that's good news. And JJ is coming along at home. It's good news, too. Birthdays? Yes. Yep. For all of our joys, we say praise the Lord. Now, pens and pencils. Jot these down somewhere. Please pray about one or all of these needs, because your prayer may be the one that breaks the camel's back. It may be the one that busts the dam wide open. Your prayer may be the one that opens up the windows of heaven so that those blessings can be poured out on somebody. So we want to pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our church, that we would be all that Jesus wants us to be. How about all those who are traveling? A lot of people traveling this time of year. Pray for our men and women and the families in the military. We want to pray for those who are battling depression and anxiety. This is a particularly difficult time of the year for them. You can't say to somebody, just get over it, or, you know, they can't help it. Depression and anxiety. Also feel a need to pray for our law enforcement agencies. All the law enforcement agencies, they've really got their hands full. We have addicts, not just drug addicts, but people who are addicted to all kinds of things. But addicts, their families, their friends, addiction, it hurts everybody. We want to pray for Pastor Stephen and his wife, Dawn. They had found out not that long ago that Dawn was pregnant, and last night she had a miscarriage. So keep Pastor Stephen and Dawn in your prayers, please. And David began his stem cell replacement therapy transplant this past week. Keep David in your prayers. David Willoughby is battling cancer, as is Doris in Virginia. Keep them in your families, please, your prayers. Continue to pray for JJ, Ethel and Bill's son, as he recovers at home. Bob, keep him in your prayers. Matt and family, God knows the details there. A lot of things to pray about here. That situation in Egypt, all those people just, and you know, well, horrible that all those people were killed innocently like that. They were having prayer time in a mosque, and they detonated a bomb in there and killed a whole bunch of them. And as people came out the doors and out the windows, there were people outside just gunning them down. Horrible. I don't know, was it 235 or something were killed? It is out of control. Who else? Yes, that's right, opening day, all the hunters. Bonnie. Okay, let's pray for people on medication. For Jen. Jen and family. Yes, Jen.
Bill and Wendy and Cindy all battling forms of cancer. Bill, Wendy, and Cindy.
Vanessa and her family. Okay, Bill, Wendy, and Cindy. Vanessa and her family. Unspoken request, raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. This is not gossip hour. This is an important part of worship, because we are saying to God that we trust you, God. We trust you to do something here in this situation. We're saying that we believe. We're saying 1 John 4:4. What is 1 John 4:4? That's what we're saying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks. for all the blessings that you've given to us. Help us to share those blessings with others. And God, we believe, help our unbelief. We lift up into the light and love of your presence this long list that's before us today. You heard the names, Lord. We pray that you do a mighty work in each and every person's life, in each and every situation. Come, Holy Spirit, come, because you are greater than any problem that any of us has. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a mighty work here. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We have favor with God and man. It is written, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. And we know that in all things you work together for our good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 25. This is the gospel. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. 25, beginning with verse 31. Let us hear the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. There was once a church that fell upon hard times. And this church only had 5 remaining members. And that included the pastor. So there were 4 members and the pastor. They had all been members of the church for many years. And now in their golden years, they were not sure how to save their church. Well, there was an older, retired bishop that lived in the mountains, not too far from them. So one day, the pastor decided to pay a visit to the bishop and see if he might have any advice to help save the church. The bishop and the pastor had a nice long visit, but when the pastor finally asked the bishop for guidance, He simply responded by saying, "There is no advice I can give to you on this matter. The only thing I can tell you is that one of you is the Messiah." Well, the pastor, dumbfounded, returned to the church and shared with the members what the bishop said. The church members spent the following months considering the words of the bishop, and they continued to ask themselves, "The Messiah is one of us?" The more they considered the possibility, the more they began to treat each other with extraordinary respect, not being sure which one of them was the Messiah. They also began to care for themselves with great care as well, just in case they themselves were the Messiah. Time passed, and visitors to the church could not help but notice the great aura of respect and gentle kindness that surrounded these five old members of the small church. Word began to spread, and it began to draw more and more people to come back to church. People began bringing friends, and their friends brought more friends. In just a few short years, that small church had grown once again to become a thriving church, all thanks to the bishop's gift. Thank you, Diane, for that little story. Sometimes taking care of the least of these is right here among ourselves. This past Monday, I went to my family doctor and had my checkup, and he poked and prodded, looked in here and looked up here and looked in here and listened here and listened in the back. Take deep breaths, did all that, checked my blood pressure, and everything was good. He was happy. We talked, and I know better than to eat. I never eat when I go for a doctor's visit, even if it's in the afternoon, as this was at 2:00, because I know he's going to want to do blood work, and you've got to be fasting. And so I went and had the blood drawn. Excuse me. And came back. I was just the next day. They called me. Said everything was good. Just a little bit anemic. Just got to eat more iron-rich foods. Right away, people say, "Eat liver." And I say, no, not going to happen. Can't do that. But so the doctor had given me all these tests to see if I was healthy or not. This passage about the sheep and the goats, it's a spiritual examination to see if we are spiritually happy or not. Spiritually well, not happy, but well. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John 4:16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." So to help those who are the least, no matter what they need, it's an act of love. God lives in us. We live in God. God is love. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." We're created in the image of God. So that you've got a poor self-image, time to get rid of it. You're created in the image of God. And if we're spiritually healthy, then we live in God. God is love. Therefore, we are created in his image. So we should be living in love. It kind of all goes together. It's all about us. Trouble is, there's a sickness among us. Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12 says, "At that time," talking about the end days, "at that time, many people will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most people will grow cold." Created in the image of God, who is love, we are to be love, but that love is growing cold because of the increase of wickedness. Now, you got to understand that the increase of wickedness is not just things like what's happened in Egypt. It's not just like, a sniper killing people. It's not just about people robbing and stealing and wars. All that's evil too, and that's wickedness. But there's wickedness that's in our entertainment industry. There's wickedness in the government. There's wickedness in politics. There's wickedness in the clergy. There's wickedness all around us. And we see it, and so much of it is entertainment. And we read it in the paper, we hear it on the car radio, we see it on the TV, we talk about it. So much to the point that our hearts become hard. We've become desensitized. That's how the love grows cold. It's because we have become desensitized to the plight of other people. We see horrible things happen and we think, oh, that's just too bad. That's a shame. But what do we do about it? Nothing. Because the love of most has grown cold. The increase of wickedness, it's all around us. Don't let it happen. We've got to continually pray and ask God for a heart of flesh, that we would be sensitive to the plight of others so that we can recognize those who are the least among us. In 2009, I was appointed to Carmichael's United Methodist Church. That's before this one. And in Carmichael's is a smaller community than this. And it was west of Uniontown, and east of Waynesburg, about 40 minutes drive south of Little Washington, PA. So the church, big red brick building, sat here across an alley. A big yellow brick building sat on the corner of the block. That was the fellowship hall. And then across the street from the church, it was the red brick building that used to be a laundromat that was now the church office. And it was a one-way street in front. So I noticed a little old man walking back and forth in front of the church. He would come from, if I was facing the church out of my office, he would come from that direction, and he'd walk by, and he'd go in that direction. And, he seemed reasonably okay. Coming back, he was staggering drunk. And this went on almost every day. Well, I saw this guy all the time, and so I started saying hi, waving to him. And I finally stopped him one day and introduced myself and asked him his name. He told me his name was Frederick Joseph Van Nest. Little Freddy, I called him. And I asked him if I could help him, if there was anything I could do for him. He said, no, I'm good. His hygiene was bad. Little fella, bleary-eyed, had to be in his 50s, looked like he was in his 70s, but invited him to church. He didn't want anything. He said, I'm not good enough, pastor, for church. And he said, God don't want anything to do with me. He said, I've been bad. He's been bad all my life, drunk. I said, but Freddie, none of us are good enough for God. God loves all of us, and God loves you just the way you are. Well, when I get a handle on this, when I clean myself up, I said, oh, Freddie, you don't have to wait. God loves you just the way you are. And so Freddie continued to walk back and forth, and he never showed up at church. And I asked the church one day, much like this, I said, how many of you have noticed the little fellow that walks back and forth out here? He's drunk most of the time. We've noticed him. I said, what's his name? Nobody knew him. They've lived there all their lives. I just started there. They didn't know him. Broke my heart. So I told them what his name was. I said, you need to get to know this man. We need to pray for him. Pretty soon they started stopping Freddie themselves and inviting him in, but Freddie would never come in. And in my conversation with Freddie, I found out that when he was little, his parents used to take him to the bar with them. They'd put him under the table, and they'd feed him drinks to keep him quiet. Didn't have much of any family. He was abused, poor, all his life. He was living in the projects there in Carmichael's, and walking down to the local bar. coming back drunk all the time. Gave Freddie some reading material, gave him a Bible. And every time I'd see him, I'd say, "Hey, Frederick Joseph Van Nest." And he'd stop and he'd go, you remembered my name. Nobody else had taken the time to remember his name. He was the least of these. He felt overlooked, like nobody cared. A couple years go by. These conversations keep up. Pretty soon everybody in the church is stopping Freddie and talking to him, giving him rides. Bonnie gave him rides to the hospital, and I'd give him rides home when the weather was bad or in the wintertime. And then one Ash Wednesday, service starts at 8 o'clock, and a quarter after, the door opens up, and in walks Freddie. He takes a seat. There's not a dry eye in the house. Freddie never did come to Sunday service, but he would pop in at these evening services. He came to our community dinners that we had once a month. He'd even stop in at choir practice, much to the chagrin of the choir director. He'd stop in and listen to them for a while. One day I hadn't seen Freddie for a while, and I asked somebody, "Where's little Freddie, Frederick Joseph Van Nest, been?" And they said, "Oh, didn't you hear? They found him dead in his apartment a couple days ago." We never really changed Freddie's life, not that I know of, but he certainly changed ours. He was definitely the least of these. And he wasn't alone. I think I've shared before with you about Sharon. Sharon came to my office saying she needed help. She was living in her van. Sharon was no young lady, but she'd had some major emotional baggage. A husband who tried to kill her, threw her out of a moving car. She was in a coma for months. A daughter who, as a teenager, was killed by a drunk driver. Her life was a mess, living in her van. And so we helped her out. And somebody in her family finally gave her a mobile home to live in. And pretty soon I get a phone call from her son. Her son says, "Hey, Mom would like to come to church." And I said, "Well, that's great. She's more than welcome to come to church." He says, "Yeah, but she won't come to church without her dog. She's got a little chihuahua, and she doesn't go anywhere without that dog." And I said, "Tell her to bring it." And so she came to church with that little chihuahua that didn't make a noise. The kids loved that little chihuahua. And she came Sunday after Sunday. Do you think I got any visits in my office or phone calls about that dog being in church? You bet. You bet there were some people that were real upset. How would you feel if somebody came in here bringing their dog because they had an emotional attachment to it? I said, people complained, and I said, "Well, what would Jesus do?" Jesus would say, "Bring the dog." They go, "What are you going to do if everybody starts bringing an animal?" I said, "I'll have a Sunday evening service for people with animals." One day, Sharon showed up without her dog. Sharon always had a tough time. She couldn't hold a job. But she had a heart as big as the sun, you know, just made out of gold. She gave more money to the children's ministry than, and she didn't have it, but she gave what she had to the children's ministry all the time. Still having tough times to this day. And that's not all. There was Danny. Danny was an African-American man who lived in Carmichael's. I think Danny might have been the only. No, there was one other family, Israel. Israel and his wife who lived in Carmichael's. Everybody else was Lily White. But Danny spent many, many years in Rikers Prison, New York City. And Danny had been a drug dealer, big-time drug dealer. And he was a tall, wiry fellow, Danny was, and about my age. And Danny thought he was a ladies' man. used to get in people's faces and he'd flirt. And Danny was seemed to have been intelligent at one time, but as a drug dealer, he used to rob people all the time. And one time they dragged him out of his apartment. And in front of a bunch of people on the street, they shot him in the back of the head. He survived, but his brain wasn't wired the same way anymore. And so he would ride around Carmichael's, and people would be afraid of him. And they'd call the cops on him all the time, but the police said, we don't have any. He's not doing anything wrong. And then one day we're in the fellowship hall, we're having a meal, and it was dark outside, and somebody screamed, ah! And I said, what? What? And they said, he's out there, he's out there. I was like, what are you kidding me? And I went out the door, and Danny was sitting out there on his bike looking in, his bicycle, just rode his bicycle around. And I said, hi, my name's Bruce. He said, I'm Danny. And we talked. And I said, why don't you come on in and get something to eat? And he did. Danny started coming to church. Like, he said some crazy off-the-wall stuff during church sometimes. Boy, he knew his Bible, though. We couldn't do a whole lot to change Danny's life. He was very needy. I was working on his car. I was taking him places all the time. Never seemed to be any end to it. I don't know if we changed his life, but he changed ours. That which you do unto the least of these, you do unto me, Jesus said. And James chapter 1, verse 22 says, don't just be a hearer of the word. Don't just be a hearer of the word and so deceive yourself. Be a doer also. How is our spiritual health? That which you do unto the least of these, you do unto me, Jesus said. Are we doing it unto the least of these? Are we really helping them? Are we really doing what we can? I mean, that's why we're giving away the gifts Sunday. That's why we're having the giveaway on the 16th. That's why we want to start a community kitchen in January. All kinds of things we do with the angel tree. And there's more angels are coming next week to put on the tree. And we have the mission trip. We're always trying to think of how can we reach out to the least of these. Because it's Jesus. We want to be healthy. And last but not least, the sheep and the goats. How many of you have ever seen The Undercover Boss? That is the sheep and the goats, my brothers and sisters. Because that which you do unto the least of these, you're doing unto your boss. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing, Rescue the Perishing. Anybody here with the last name Green? Well, that's good, because we're about to hang them. So, yeah. Stick around, have some fun and fellowship. We'll have some pizza. I'm going to run out and pick up some pop and bring that back. And first thing you got to do is come down front and hear Diane's spiel. And then we can go ahead and start putting stuff up. Bring in those Advent gifts to give away next Sunday. If there by any chance are any gifts left over, if we get an abundance, we'll just hand them out during church like I usually do during the Advent season. So a lot of things going on. Please keep an eye on the schedules of events and stuff coming up. Do an Advent devotion for you and your family, too, this year. And bring in those contributions for the giveaway on the 16th. Well, I guess that about covers it. Dear Heavenly Father, we are blessed. But among us and all around us are the least. Help us to be a blessing to others. Because by being a blessing to them, we may be a blessing to you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to put a smile on your face. So come, Holy Spirit, make it so. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.